This is the meditation for Easter morning. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary comes to the tomb without expecting anything. She had waited through the Sabbath, and oh, what a horrible Sabbath that must have been. A day not of rest, but restless with guilt, recrimination, anger. Could you not wait with me 1 hour? Could you not walk 1 more mile? Why, she asks, didn't he just keep moving toward the desert over the Mount of Olives? Why did he have to have that meltdown in the Garden of Gethsemane? It was as if he were asking to be arrested. The longest Sabbath in the world, a Sabbath that even God does not brighten with holy presence. But now the Sabbath is over, and at the first possible moment, at the deepest part of the night, long before dawn, she sets out by starlight. Why? Here in the Gospel of John, she's not bringing spices and oils to complete the anointing of the body. She doesn't bring friends, the other women. She risks going out alone, risks being seen by the Romans looking for the companions of Jesus. But she must go. She's going there to grieve. She comes alone in the dark, in the night's darkness, but in her own darkness of mind, of heart as well. She goes to the tomb just to be there, expecting nothing, but finding everything. The transformation that happens to Mary Magdalene in the Garden of the Resurrection early in the morning is a transformation that for you and me usually takes us all of our Christian lives. Her story is our story, but ours takes place in slow motion. But let's continue the story. When Mary arrives at the grave, she finds that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. She runs back to wherever the disciples are in hiding, and she brings Peter and the beloved disciple, we will call him John. They are not much help, these two great disciples. But everyone comes to the Garden of Resurrection by a different way, Peter and John, you and I. John, the younger man, gets there first. He looks in but hesitates in his thoughtful, respectful, observant way. Peter, when he arrives, barges right in, just as you would expect. They observe the winding sheets lying there, and the sheet which was wrapped around the corpse's head, rolled up by itself in a corner. The beloved disciple, the gospel tells us, saw and believed. But he could not quite put it all together in his mind at the time. In any case, there was nothing Peter and John could do, so they left. But Mary stayed, and she wept. She had come to the tomb to grieve, but now there was not even a body. Someone had desecrated even the tomb in which Jesus had been laid. Horror upon unspeakable horror. But as she wept, she turned and looked inside the tomb again. But now there were two angels there, one at the head and one at the foot of where the body would have been lying had the body been there. The angels said, "Why are you weeping?" "Because," she said, They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." She turned around again. And then the risen Lord said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Through her blurry tears, through the lens of her own darkness, her own understanding, her own perception of reality, she assumes he's the gardener. Why wouldn't she? You would. I would. She said to him something pretty bold. "If you have taken him, show me, and I'll take him away." Is she strong enough to take a grown man's body away? Maybe. She was a strong woman. But now, oh now, beloved, you can hear him smile right through the gospel pages. Mary, the gospel says here that she turned again. Wasn't she already facing him? Maybe turned means something in addition to her body language. She's turned three times. What is this turning? She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means "my own teacher." And, as you would imagine, she threw herself upon him. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended." What does he mean? Do not cling to what I was. Do not cling to what I ever meant to you before. Do not cling to an image of me. Do not cling to a perception of me. It's all new. Everything is new. You must keep on turning. You must keep awake. You must be alive, as I am, in increasingly challenging ways. You must love with a love as strong as death. You must love in wider, extending circumferences, extending beyond your imagination. Do not cling. Then he said, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In this act, he made Mary Magdalene the first apostle. An apostle is one who has seen the risen Christ and goes to announce it. Jesus makes her the apostle to the future apostles. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. My friends, the story of Mary Magdalene at the tomb is your story and my story. We, at some point in our lives, we come in dark faith to the tomb of all that we have loved with the old ways of loving. We come to this emptiness not expecting anything. We come perhaps just to grieve, just to be there, close to that which was once precious to us. But we find emptiness even there. Sometimes we give up and go home, like Peter and John. But if we choose to stay, to turn and turn and turn again, at each turning, see more clearly from the new selves the Christ is calling us to be, Do not cling to the old. Your grief transformed. You have a new heart, new eyes. Do not be afraid to come to the tomb with your emptiness. Like Mary, you may expect to find nothing, but you may, in fact, find everything. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.